The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday the 13th of September. 13th? Friday the 13th? I didn't realise that. Anyway, it's 2024. Welcome along. This podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. They are companies with a market capitalization around about 100 million or less. By the way, to receive my free tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up to this gives you an added benefit. Listen to the end of the podcast. Okay, macro news. This is from Reuters. An interest rate cut from the Bank of England next week looks unlikely, but investors will be watching its September meeting for clues about future moves, as well as decision over the pace of its bond sales. That's a hot topic, quantitative tightening. Anyway, all 65 economists in a Reuters poll said the BOE will likely hold rates at 5% on September the 19th after cutting from a 16-year high of 5.25% in August. Bond investors are hotly anticipating an annual decision on the pace of the BOE's quantitative tightening programme, the reversal of hundreds of billions of pounds of British government bond purchases from past attempts to stimulate the economy. Last year, the MPC voted to run down its stock of gilts by £100 billion through a combination of active sales and allowing bonds to mature. Now, lawmakers have criticised the quantitative tightening programme because it brings forward losses sustained by the BOE, which purchases gilts in the past years at much higher prices than their current sale value. Those losses are paid for by guess who? The taxpayer. This is Rachel Reeves talking about this £22 billion black hole. £9 billion of that was down to them, by the way. But this is making huge losses. Them selling these bonds, they bought high, they're selling low. That's the Bank of England right now. They're doing that. The Bank of England holds £86 billion of gilts that are due to mature naturally over the next year, leaving little room for active gilt sales at the current price. But of course, for the mature, they're basically getting less back than they originally invested. But listen to this. They bought a total of £895 billion worth of bonds. Most of those were UK government bonds. The remaining £20 billion were UK corporate bonds. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I often think the central banks exacerbate the problem of the economy. And I do liken it to an analogy where, you know, you've got a little campfire going there, okay, going nicely. It starts, you know, simmering down a bit. So you go to throw a log on the fire. The central bank boss comes along and says, the fire's going out. Throw some petrol on it. So you throw some petrol on it. That is basically reducing interest rates like crazy and buying bonds. The fire then just takes off, out of control almost. You know, that's what inflation was. That's how it happened. And then they start panicking, saying, oh, the fire's out of control. Throw some water on it. You're there, you know, you're there attending the campfire, the business person. Say, no, let it calm down naturally. That's the market. It will calm down. Higher prices will mean people buy less. You don't need to raise interest rates. But no, the Bank of England raises interest rates and then start doing quantitative tightening, throwing buckets of water on the fire. Then what you have there is an extreme situation of the fire nearly going out. Oh, quick, it's going out. Throw petrol on it. You've got this boom and bust scenario. Fueled, literally fueled by central banks. I often think, just let the market do what it needs to do. Keep interest rates at 2%. If inflation happens, people naturally start buying less because it costs more. Simple as that. Anyway, story number two. The European Central Bank on Thursday delivered a quarter point interest rate cut, marking its second reduction to the deposit rate this year. The widely anticipated move comes after a period of sluggish economic growth across the Eurozone and cooling inflation, which fell back towards the central bank's 2% target in August. The ECB lowered its 2024 growth forecast by 0.8%, down slightly from an earlier projection of 0.9%, citing weaker contribution from domestic demand over the next few quarters. For once, I think the ECB are in tune with the economics and the markets. The Fed are behind the curve, the Bank of England are too. I don't see why they would pause after a quarter percentage point cut. Just do another one. You know, we're not going to be, inflation is not going to take off again at the moment. You can see our GDP, you know, job vacancies are going down. Wages are slowly coming down. Oh, I don't know, it's driving me insane. They are making policy looking in the rearview mirror. Story number three. This is a good story. This is a positive one. UK leads resurgence in European office investments from CNBC. UK is leading a recovery in Europe's long subdued office real estate market, with overall investment in the sector expected to pick up further in the second half of the year. Britain recorded €4.1 billion worth of office transactions in the first 6 months of 2024, accounting for almost one third of the total European office deals, according to August data from the international real estate firm Savills. That marks a 5 percentage point increase in its 5-year average share of transactions across the region, surpasses France, that did €1.8 billion. Britain recorded €4.1 billion. And Germany's €1.7 billion worth of deals. The spike comes amid a prolonged downturn in the office sector, which suffered dual impacts of post-pandemic workplace shifts and the move to higher interest rates. This is quite a good sign. I've noticed, I've covered recently, many big companies encouraging now their workforce to go back to the office to 3-4 times a week rather than just twice a week, whatever. And this will be good for the overall economy. Because, of course, when you go to work, you tend to spend more. You know, you're travelling, the train, and you go out and buy some lunch, maybe pop into a couple of shops. There's a lot of, you know, in the city centres, especially Mondays and Fridays, apparently, it's like a ghost town in certain cities. And, you know, the pubs and bars and restaurants aren't full as they used to be. This will help a lot, especially, I think, the leisure and retail sector. So it's a good story. That's a good story. There's a positive there. Story number four. I agree with this. Listen to this. The government must offer hope to attract investment, CBI chief to argue. The City AM, this is from. The government must have and offer hope in order to attract global investors to bet on back Britain. The chief executive of the Confederation of British Industry will argue. Yes. This is what I've been saying, what everyone's been saying. So in a rejection of the number 10 and the Treasury's gloomy economic language, Rain Newton-Smith will use this, it's a double barrel name, isn't it? Will use the CBI's annual dinner in Glasgow to call for more aspirational attitude. She will warn, we get the need to take a hard look at the economy. We know how difficult the last few years have been. But at the same time, I think the more we focus on that difficult inheritance, the harder it is in global boardrooms to make the pitch to invest in and come to and stay in the UK. Absolutely. When Starmer stood up in the Rosy Garden, there's irony for you, bit of irony, and said, oh, it's going to be painful, hard times to come. Everyone's fearing. People are now putting off, delaying investment before that budget comes out on the 30th of October. Because no one wants to invest in an uncertain environment where it's going to be harder for business. It's the old shit sandwich, isn't it? It's an old marketing ploy. Why didn't anyone tell Starmer this? You stand up and you say, OK, we are bringing stability to the UK. We are pro-growth. We are pro-business. That's the bread part of the sandwich. Here's the shit. But we have some difficult decisions to make. Our finances are not in a great state, and we're going to have to adjust certain taxes, and we're going to have to, you know, collect more in revenue, full stop. But, and this is the other part of the sandwich, the bread bit, but this stronger foundation we're building will also help business. And again, we are pro-growth. We want to help and enable business thrive in this country. That's the way it should have been said. But no, he didn't have the bread bits of the sandwich. He just had the shit. Unbelievable. Does he not understand? Why doesn't he talk to some business people and say, you have to encourage business. You have to enable them. You have to make it fertile ground for them to invest in. Otherwise, they won't. They'll go somewhere else. You've got to be part salesman. That's what the Prime Minister is now. He's part salesman of UK PLC. You imagine this happening with a company you're invested in, comes out with an RNS, all gloomy. What would happen to the stock price? People would sell it. People would sell the stock, it'd go down, you'd have a problem attracting investment. You don't do that. You give a nice bit of a spin on it and show the positives. You have to be truthful about the negatives as well, but not all negatives. It's pointless. And story number five. US debt is now at $35.3 trillion. The cost of paying interest on that, have a guess, on a daily basis, have a guess what the cost of paying the interest alone on the US debt. No. Higher, lower. Didn't she do well? The cost of paying the interest on the US debt, it's $3 billion a day. That is unbelievable. $3 billion. I know there's a lot of doom mongers on Twitter. Oh, we're talking about the debt. They've been talking about the debt for 30, 40 years. Not on Twitter, of course. I haven't noticed Twitter actually now. Interaction is so low on there. I think it's knackered. I think it's all bots. Absolutely. I'm looking for other platforms. It's before now you post something mildly interesting. And before we'd get like at least, 10, 20, 30 likes. Now, nothing. And yet, apparently my followers have gone up. Most of the followers now I've gained, most of them are real, but a lot of them are like these porn star women. And are you really invested in UK microcap stocks? Or they're bots? Anyway, the daily interest expense has doubled since 2020 and is up from $2 billion about 2 years ago. That's when the Federal Reserve began its campaign of aggressive rate hikes to rein in inflation. According to Apollo Global Management chief economist Torsten Slok, if the Fed cuts interest rates, this is what he's saying, by 1 percentage point and the entire yield curve declines by 1 percentage point, then the daily interest expenses will decline from $3 billion per day to $2.5 billion per day. That's even more nailed on now, isn't it? The fact that the Fed is going to reduce interest rates. They can't afford to keep them that high. $3 billion a day in interest rates. By the way, it's next Wednesday, 7 p.m. That's when the Fed will announce what they're doing with interest rates, largely seen or forecast as a quarter of a percentage point. Some people are hoping for half a percentage point, but that would scare the markets. And also, basically say, the Fed have got it wrong again. And they're not going to do that, because they got it wrong last time. They're too late last time. Okay, there's not much news on the microcap front. Two companies with results out. First one is Proteome Sciences, PRM is ticker. They're a specialist provider of contract proteomics services to enable drug discovery, development and biomarker identification, and employs proprietary workflows for the optimum analysis of tissues, cells, and body fluids, announces unaudited interim results for the 6 months ended the 30th of June, 2024. So what we're looking for, I'll cover three metrics, okay? That's revenue, loss or profit before tax, and cash. Now, sorry, got some wind. Microcap companies, of course, we're looking for growth. So we want them to be growing on all three metrics, ideally. So let's look at this. Revenues for 6 months, 2.22 million versus 3.21. It's gone down from 3.2 to 2.2, a million down. Loss before tax, 2.148 million versus 547K. That's increased a lot. So revenue's gone down. Loss has gone up. Let's have a look at the cash. 1.2 million versus 2 million previously. On three metrics, it's a loser. Market cap is 10 million. I'd be surprised if the share price is up. Let's check this out. Share price is down by 19.77%. Not a surprise. Next one. Volvir. VLE. I don't really understand what this company does. It's a growth and turnaround investment company. Announces unaudited interim results for the 6 month ended 30th of June 2024. Having said that, revenue 22.2 million versus 19. Ding! Profit before tax 2.17 million versus 441k. Ding! Cash 22.14 million versus 19.8 million. Ding! So three ticks there, or dings. The market cap is 32 million. It was. Let's have a look where they are at the moment. They are up 4.61%. That's quite cheap, isn't it? They've got cash of 22 million. I've not looked at whether they say, is that net cash or net debt? Let me just quickly check. But if they don't have any debt, having said, if they're a turnaround company, maybe they will. I mean, of course, VLE's ticker. Half year report. Let's look. Group net assets of 38.57 million. Cash and available for sale investments, 24. Let me just scroll down to their financial standing or balance sheet. Where is it? There we go. They do have loans, no, 120K on current, 638 on non-current. So no, it seems fine. They've got some leases, yeah, but that is fine. So there's no broker forecast. It's undercover. It is in the microcap league, by the way. But that's good results there from Vol. I don't really understand what they do. Turnaround companies, they invest in Shire Foods, they invest in whatever that is. But there we are. Okay, let's look at the markets. By the way, the big standout performer today is gold. Absolute gold. It's up to $2,600 an ounce. How long have I been saying that? Gold is going higher. Interest rates coming down. Previous runs in gold have happened when interest rates come down. And I think this is going to $3,000 an ounce. By the way, on a personal level, I don't understand why people are not getting this. Ramsden's, right? They're a perfect business for any environment. RFX is ticker. Do your own research. I hold this company, so I'm very biased. But they do pawnbroking, to loans people. They sell and buy precious metals like gold. They do FX currencies and they sell watches as well. So you look at that. That's everything covered there. In downturns, upturns, everything. Right? Now they said recently, a trading update, they're going to beat expectations with pre-tax profit of 11 million. At least they said 11 million. Some of this was down to the gold price. Now that's continued to go higher. The share price has hardly moved. Now, if you understand these operations, people are going in and selling their gold. They're going to the shops. When you go into shops and you sell your gold, you've got a bit of cash. What are most people going to do? Are they going to look around at other things, maybe a watch to buy, whatever? It's these people, you know, selling gold they don't want. Maybe they're looking to replace an old gold watch with a new one. This will help all the operations at Ramsden's. And they're doing very well anyway. All the operations. The only sluggish part of the business, which is having a turnaround, was luxury watches. Now, if you look at, you know, Watches of Switzerland, the bigger company, that's all they do. Even they say the market's stabilised and it's improving. So now all four segments of their business is doing well. And the valuation is great. It's one of those companies, rare companies, that has growth and value. It's very hard to find those kind of companies because if a company's got growth, it's almost, you know, it's priced in future growth, and so the value can be a little bit stretched. Not so with Ramsden's. It's one of these companies that, a little bit boring maybe, some people say, but do you know what? They pay like a 4.5% or 5% dividend as well. It's a very good business. Very good. Like I say, I'm biased. But that's gold. Gold is up to an all-time high. Just at $2,600 an ounce. Let's look at the markets here. FTSE 100. It's up 0.2% to 8255. FTSE 250, it's up 0.6% to 20,823. The FTSE small cap, it's up. Same as the FTSE 100. Largely, yeah, 0.2% to 8661. And the AIM all share, is it up? Yes, it is. Up 0.34% to 743. Anything else? Copper's having a little bit of a, well, it's stabilizing. It's not bouncing. Brent crude is now up to $72. It did dip to 69 last few days, but it is having a little bounce, technical bounce there maybe. So that's looking good. Okay, anything else? That's it. Apart from, by all means, by the way, I bought two new investments yesterday, sold one. And like I say, if you want to know what they are, go to sharepickers.com, join the investment club. You also get, by the way, 20% off if you join the email list first, sharepickers.com/tips. Like I said, early access to these tips, access to live weekly webinars where we discuss lots of stock ideas, microcap stock ideas, and discuss portfolio management, technical analysis, you know, fundamental analysis, all this stuff. Access to the microcap league, where how many companies are on there now? We do kick some off. On Wednesday, we kicked four companies off it, but we now have 73 companies that are sub 100 million market cap, all profitable. And they score, well, they're ranked and scored on growth, value, health, momentum, potential, etc. And they're ranked. You also get a free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing. Access to view my holdings, which I updated yesterday, and give reasons why I bought the two investments. And I give links as well to sort of certain further research, should I say. And also access to educational videos on fundamental analysis, technical analysis, portfolio management, access to the chat group, and now mumbling because I'm bored of myself, sharepickers.com/tips. That's it for the weekend, the weekday podcast. I don't know if I'll do a weekend podcast, who knows, but I hope you have a nice weekend. I'm off out with the wife this afternoon to the Ivy because it's our 9th wedding anniversary. I know it's not a special figure, 9. We've got to celebrate it, haven't you? Just realise. Do you know, since my parents passed away a few years ago, I focus on life a bit more. And even though I spend most of my time looking at stocks and shares in my office, I think you've got to go out and do stuff. Because there's no guarantees in life. There's no contract saying, you will live to 83. That doesn't happen. So you realise, you know, you could go tomorrow. So you might as well, if you have the opportunity, get out, have a nice weekend, or enjoy small things in life and really appreciate. That's the answer to happiness, isn't it? Appreciating what you have, not what you want. Thanks for listening. Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.